If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Now do the dig. Go play action pass, 7-step drop. Just stick it out one way you want. Go 7.
It's an unseasonably warm December day in the suburbs 25 miles northwest of downtown Chicago. In the corner of Sunset Meadows Park in Arlington Heights, Illinois, the top high school quarterback prospect in the state, Virginia Tech commit Quincy Patterson, is working with the man who hopes to mold him into the next Jimmy Garoppolo.
Easy feet, easy feet. There you go. Slightly blocked.
49er fans got their first extended look at Garoppolo on Sunday as he showed plenty of the skills against his hometown Chicago Bears that prompted the 49ers to acquire him in a trade with the New England Patriots for a second-round draft pick.
Now, up in the air. Get better drop on your depth and get your back foot.
The 49ers are hoping Garoppolo is their quarterback of the future. And on this edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast, we take a look at Garoppolo's past. You'll also hear some of Garoppolo's post-game comments following the 49ers' 15-14 victory over the Bears on Sunday. And then, Jeff Garcia will give his opinion of whether the 49ers have finally found another Pro Bowl quarterback. But first, we go to that field, where the coach who taught Garoppolo how to shape his mechanics is back at work.
Straight back. Now up. There you go. There you go. Up. Close your shoulders. There you go.
Garoppolo's private coach is Jeff Christensen, the quarterback selected in the 1983 NFL draft after Dan Marino. Now he runs Throw It Deep, an academy for quarterbacks and wide receivers. And this is where the story begins. Christensen started working with Garoppolo as he entered his junior year at Rolling Meadows High School under coach Doug Millsaps. Christensen could immediately tell that Garoppolo had a lot of raw, natural ability.
Well, he obviously had a live arm because he was a pitcher, right? But he had a lot of mechanical problems from the waist down, and so his release was elongated. And so I had to educate him on proper feet placement, knees and hips and all that stuff, and body angles, and explain to him what causes elongations versus quick release. And then when you use the right muscle structure and the right mechanical movements in the right sequence, your release will actually quicken if you understand it. And to his credit, he just kind of got it, and he trusted it. And so his release just got quicker and quicker and quicker.
Jimmy Garoppolo played varsity as a sophomore at Rolling Meadows High School. But because there was a senior starter at quarterback, the coaches decided that the best spot to take advantage of his unique athleticism was on defense, as a 175-pound outside linebacker.
My name is Tony Walansky. I was the defensive coordinator when Jimmy was a sophomore, junior, and senior. He came up for us at first. He was going to be a starter at safety, and then we were a little thin at outside linebacker, and we put him up front to outside linebacker. Jimmy's a tough kid, but every game that year when we did a scouting report, he'd look at the left tackle and see his size. And if it was a big kid, he's like, I really got to go up against that big kid. But, you know, he did great.
I'm Scott Odehall. I was Jimmy's linebacker coach in high school. First question was always, Coach, how big is that guy that's going to want to block me there? Sometimes we had to lie to him and tell him, nah, that guy's not going to. In our scheme, he won't block you. And sure enough, that guy would come out first play and try and block him. But some really good teams. I mean, the first thing that they would say is, even as a sophomore, like, man, that kid's pretty good. So, yeah, we knew we had something special.
And so he said he knew he could overpower people, so he would try to figure out how big the guy was and figure out what moves he had to do to get around him.
Well, and that was his thing. I mean, he was so shifty and so, I mean, good in space and tight spaces that, yeah, it was really tough for people to block him.
Finally, Garoppolo became the quarterback entering his junior year. He spent a lot of time during his lunch periods watching film with his coaches.
My name's Charlie Henry. I was the offensive coordinator for Jimmy's junior and senior year here at Rolling Meadows High School. you could tell he understood the game. You could also tell he I think even at that, even as a younger kid, you know, junior or senior in high school, he enjoyed a little bit of the time and the preparation that it takes to be successful. Jimmy grew a great deal from, you know, he played defense primarily as a sophomore, and then his junior and senior year as a quarterback, the guy that started junior year who was just figuring things out to, you know, about midway, early part, I'd say, his senior year, we realized how good he could be. And, you know, so he took some his physical tools and his learned how to use those, and then he applied that within the game, and you could tell that he liked to study and enjoyed, you know, kind of figuring out what checks we needed to make and things like that.
After the conclusion of football season, Garoppolo would transition to the basketball court, where his coach remembers a few memorable games, including what is perhaps Garoppolo's most embarrassing high school moment.
Hi, I'm Kevin Katovich. I was Jimmy's basketball coach for 2 years here at Meadows. We had a game against Hersey, and we were kind of sluggish, a little behind, and so we decided, my assistant coach at the time decided, hey, let's throw Jimmy at the top of a 1-3-1 trap and see if we can generate anything, and it worked. And Jimmy created a lot of turnovers with his athleticism, kind of ball hawking, and I remember at the end of the game, he's like, are we going to do that a lot? That's really tiring.
Any full-length inbounds passes with him?
No, but, you know, that was definitely our last-second option. It was for Jimmy to inbound the ball, for sure. I've got one that's probably an embarrassing story, but we were at Elk Grove, and we were actually winning by one with 8 seconds to go, and Elk Grove had to go the length of the court, so we called a timeout to set up our defense. And the ball got inbounded, and Jimmy sprinted all the way from one end of the court to the next to foul. And everyone on our bench and everyone in the gym was like, what's he doing? And Elk Grove ended up winning the game. And afterwards, we said, Jimmy, what were you doing? He goes, oh, coach, I thought we were losing. So probably not a story that, you know, he once told, but nonetheless a good story.
So he has a little bit better awareness in football.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But that was just the kind of kid Jimmy was. You know, he was always competing, and in his mind, he was going to make a play because he wanted to win the game. We can laugh at it now. It wasn't so funny at the time.
It's no surprise Garoppolo was the big man on campus at Rolling Meadows. He was someone who even then could attract a large crowd with his mere presence.
Kind of the glamour look, I guess you can kind of say. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, he could walk by and everyone knew that, you know, I mean, he was a great-looking guy. They have this club here, Entrepreneurial Club. It's like a class, and the kids are asked to do like a group project. So him and a couple of his buddies, a couple of the guys from the football team, decided to do this thing in our field house or gym called like Club Sky or some type of like dance party thing. And I think that one particular night raised more money, because they would charge entrance as part of the entrepreneurial thing, raised more money than I think any other programs combined in that class. And I think they did it like twice. I mean, a lot of money. And I think he actually profited a little bit off of that too, but again, it was one of those things. They put it on, Jimmy and kids that he was associated with, and everybody showed up.
Whenever I think of Jimmy, I just think of him smiling, him being a happy kid, and a kid who was nice to everybody, who was just a great role model for our school.
Great kid. He was quiet. The thing that always stuck out to me about him is that he was just, he was a natural leader without having to say anything. Kids were just drawn to him. Always just drawn to him. Even people in the building, staff members in the building were drawn to him. He led by being there. And I mean, the kids just immediately glommed onto him, and they just wanted to be around him, and he knew that. I mean, he could sense that. And just led our team to some good things just by doing that. I mean, our team those years always had a sense of, well, we got Jimmy, we know we've got a chance.
Jimmy Garoppolo is the third of four sons raised by parents Tony and Denise Garoppolo. Charlie Henry said that there was a common thread with the Garoppolo boys.
I would say the single most important factor of him being successful is, you know, I've coached his two older brothers. I had his younger brother, Billy, in class. I know his parents. And one thing I can say about every one of the Garoppolos is they're extremely grounded. Little bit of blue collar attitude. I mean, they believe that they work, you know, and you could tell that attitude of you get what you out of something, what you put into it, resonates from the family because Jimmy works at things. The growth that he's made ever since he's left Rolling Meadows at Eastern, just a progression, and even the 4 years now in the pros. Everything I've heard, he does everything right because he's willing to put in the time.
Garoppolo was lightly recruited coming out of Rolling Meadows and ended up at Eastern Illinois University. But that did not stop his quarterback's coach, Jeff Christensen, from making a bold prediction that made Garoppolo's father cringe.
What did you tell him about how high he could go, how much he could achieve?
When he was a senior in high school, I said, you keep this up, you're going to make a lot of money playing football one day in the NFL, son. And Tony would kind of, oh, don't say that. And then his sophomore year of college, I said, you're going to make $100 million. I said, you're going to make a lot of money. I said, you'll be one of the top quarterbacks in football. You'll have the fastest release, and you'll win two or three Super Bowls.
So obviously you wouldn't say that about somebody if it was just the mechanics. He had to have the whole package.
Correct.
Upstairs, everything.
Correct.
What did you see from him in those areas?
Correct. Well, that was what drove me to say it more so. I know the mechanics are going to get better as he gets more reps, and he's a good athlete. He's savvy and moxie and tough. But the other components, the moxie and the drive and the expectation of being great, that's why I said it. And I thought it was true. And the interesting part was when I said it to him, going into a sophomore year at Eastern, he said, well, that's what we're trying to do here, right? And it was serious. It was not like it was a serious comment. I said, yeah. He said, all right, let's get to work.
After being stuck behind Tom Brady for 3.5 seasons with the Patriots, Garoppolo is now the starter with the 49ers and learning Kyle Shanahan's system. Christensen expects him to show the same traits that he has seen countless times from Garoppolo through the years on the practice field.
He knows when to buy time. He knows when to scramble. He knows when to run around and buy time. And there's differences. He knows when he wants to run and when to get down, when to get out of bounds. He knows when to go for the deep ball. He knows he's accurate. The ball comes out quick. He knows when to interject humor. He kind of just gets it. You know, there's some guys that just kind of get it. So that's a huge credit to Doug Millsap and Dino Babers and Roy Wickey, because they coached him. They instilled that in him. But I recognize it, right? And so he has all those components. Now it's just getting the right players in place.
Garoppolo's first start with the 49ers was a huge success. He helped set up kicker Robbie Gould for the game-winning field goal at Soldier Field in the closing seconds. Garoppolo's 293 yards passing were the most ever for a 49ers quarterback making his first start with the club. And it was even more special because it took place so close to Arlington Heights, where he grew up.
I try to say all week that it was just a normal game, but I mean, obviously, I've never come back to Chicago like this, so, you know, it's exciting. I mean, I had a ton of people here today. It was, you know, one of the more fun games I've been a part of. I mean, you always dream of it as a little kid. I mean, I can remember since I was in elementary school, really. I mean, you always have that dream of playing in the NFL. You don't really know if it's going to come true or not, but, you know, it's crazy how things work out, you know. I don't know. Everything happens for a reason. It's just pretty crazy. It's exciting, you know, to come out with a win, especially the way we did, you know, tough circumstances, had to make some plays at the end of the game. Robbie and the specialists stepping up like they did. It's exciting, you know, moving forward, and you know, hopefully we keep this thing going. I got to see my family a little bit yesterday. My parents and my brothers came to the hotel, so I got to sit down with them for a little bit. It was special having them in the stands. I saw them before the game, after the game. I mean, there was a lot of red tens around there, so it was cool.
All right, now I'm joined on the 49ers Insider Podcast by Jeff Garcia, as I am every week here. And Jeff, just from afar, what was your major takeaway from Jimmy Garoppolo's first start with the 49ers?
I really believe you couldn't have asked for anything better. out of a guy making his first start of the season at this point in the season, and due to the fact that he hasn't started a game since early 2016. For him to step on the field and to play as efficiently as he did, completing 70% of his passes, throwing for nearly 300 yards. The one interception was not his fault. It was a catch and a takeaway. And the only thing that really comes out of this game as a struggle for the 49ers is their red zone inefficiency, which, again, really can't be put on his shoulders. They had a situation of second and one. They try to run with Carlos Hyde. He doesn't get the first down. Third and one, they get the first down, but they have an illegal procedure. Now third and six. And then another penalty, third and 11, which is very difficult to get that conversion in that sort of space. And then another drive where Lewis Murphy is ruled that he didn't make the catch on a second and six situation, which would, again, prolong the drive and give them a better opportunity right there inside the 10-yard line. So you look at three of their five trips inside the red zone, could have easily have gone into touchdowns, and the last one being the one that was the game winner for the field goal. So you look at his game, I thought he played awesome in the sense of his third down efficiency was great, the completions, the accuracy, the decision making. It didn't look like he was a guy still learning an offense and having not started for the previous 11 weeks of the season.
The things that kind of stood out to me were that he just seemed so calm in the pocket. I mean, he spins the ball so well, and there appears to be a little bit of gunslinger in him too, where, you know, he's not afraid to try to fit the ball into tight windows or make throws that, you know, sometimes I'm sure it could backfire, but throws that when you see it, you're like, ooh, you know, is there a receiver open there? And the accuracy was very good most of the game as well.
Accuracy was excellent. Decision making, I thought, was really good. And I think what you're talking about, he makes the throw to Lewis Murphy, about a 15, 16-yard throw down the field as he's about to take a hit in the face, in the pocket, and there are three defenders around Lewis, and you're wondering where that ball is going, and Lewis comes up with the catch. But you're right. I think he's got a great grasp of his abilities to make throws on the field, where to put the ball, especially, was really good. And his cool, calm, and collective demeanor, how he handles the game. The game does not look like it's too fast for him, but it's actually slowing down for him. He was very, very calm in the pocket. Now, he had really good protection. When you compare the protection as to other games that the 49ers have competed in this season, where it's really been rough on the quarterbacks, he had a good day of protection up front. Carlos Hyde, I know a couple of times, stepped up there and took on blitz head on. And when you have a pocket like that and you have a guy who understands the pocket and the sense of the pocket, the feeling, and can move a little bit to his right, move a little bit to his left if need be, all of those things seem to be working in the right fashion.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, the 49ers offensive line hasn't changed any. How much do you think it was that the 49ers offensive line just performed better against the Bears than they have in recent weeks or for most of the season? And how much of it do you think is Jimmy Garoppolo's kind of feel for avoiding the pressure and knowing how to make subtle movements, knowing how to keep himself clean?
Right. Well, I think there's a lot to be said for how Jimmy plays the game. And a lot of the times he was able to get the ball out on rhythm where he wasn't holding on to it long. It was going right to that first read or even the second read by the last step in his drop. And there wasn't a lot of patting the ball, a lot of holding on to the football. The times when he did have to move, he was able to move away from the rush. He was able to buy more time, extend the play, kept his eyes down the field. We're also talking about the Chicago Bears, who have gone through their own struggles as a team, and not saying that they're a bad defensive unit, but they're not a team that everybody's talking about right now as to setting the world on fire defensively. So you have to understand what you are facing. But with that being said, the 49er offensive line did a nice job as far as protection is concerned. Now, the run game is a whole nother situation, and that was ineffective for most of the game up until that final drive when they were able to break off some quality runs with Hyde and with Breida. But up until that point, that was non-existent. That's really something that needs to be a continued focus for this team to better themselves as a complete offensive unit. But from the passing game standpoint, I thought it was a combination. I mean, obviously, Jimmy, in what he showed just last week in three plays, has the ability to extend plays with his feet, whether running or buying more time to find receivers down the field. He again showcased that, made some excellent throws, whether they were in holes of the defense or over defenders' heads, and was very accurate, very time efficient in the pocket, and just showed that consistency that is important to have at that position.
So the 49ers pick up their second win of the season, but seeing how they made that trade for Garoppolo in late October, seeing how he played in his first start for the 49ers, does it give you a different kind of feel for where this season has gone and in the future? If they hadn't made that trade, but they made it, does it give you reason to say, yeah, I've kind of changed my view on where the 49ers are heading because they have that quarterback?
Well, I think everybody thought and knew that the 49ers were going to go through some struggles, especially this year with a young team, a lot of injuries that they've had to overcome, and not really knowing what they had at the quarterback position, where the future really was going at that position. But now you can look at that trade as being somewhat genius in the sense that, wow, this could potentially pay off in a big time way for the future of this team as really solidifying that position. And it really opens up a lot of doors for them in the future. And not to say that they would even consider a trade of a Jimmy Garoppolo for a Kirk Cousins, but that could be even in their wheelhouse if they truly wanted it to be. But to see him perform, and for them to now recognize not only what they've seen in practice, but in a game-like situation, how last week was not just a fluke for him to step on the field for three plays and have the three plays that he had, but now to take it into an entire game and to put together a two-minute drive to win the football game on the road, I think solidifies a lot of questions that this team had moving forward as to their quarterback position. And now they can really focus on where else they need to build within that team, from the offensive line to a key big-time wide receiver, a number one wide receiver, to maybe some more speed at the tight end position, to even depth on the defensive side of the ball. They really could now make a mark in the draft, especially with the potential picks that they can get out of what they're going to have going into the draft.
Okay, Jeff, I'm going to ask for a knee-jerk reaction from you. 49ers have not had a Pro Bowl quarterback since you played for them. Do they have one now?
Well, with the way that he played today, this kid is the making of that type of player. And again, it has to be showcased now on a weekly basis. And we'll know a lot more when he goes into Houston next week against a very good defensive football team, or what has been a very good defensive football team, and to see how he performs under that sort of stress and duress with pressure coming at him. But I'll tell you what, he made some throws. There was a 3rd and 6 or a 3rd and 8 to Trent Taylor over the middle, where there was a blitzer coming free, unblocked, right into his face, and he threw a dime without flinching. And those type of throws that he made are key to really, truly accepting the type of player, understanding the type of player that they really do have under their belt, who's still young, who's still growing, who's still maturing, who's still learning, but the upside is so great looking forward.
All right. Well, Jeff, it's fun to talk about a rare win and a promising quarterback that figures to be here for a long time, perhaps. So, again, thank you very much for joining me, and we'll talk to you next week after the 49ers play in Houston.
That's great, Matt. Sounds good, man.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.